Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's program, most people don't think about how injury cases work until they need to bring a claim. But unfortunately, this may mean that there's some misconceptions about injury cases. Now, these misconceptions can lead injury victims to make choices based on incorrect information. How horrible that would be. That really hurts their chances for recovery. Today, from the law firm of Kogan DeSavo is Ted DeSavo. He's board-certified civil trial attorney, and that makes him an expert. Ted will be educating us on personal injury claim process. This is information you really do need to know, even though you don't know when you're going to need it. But first, I'd like to welcome the legal panel for today's program. Eric Yankowitz, good afternoon.
Good seeing you here today again.
Always a pleasure. I really enjoy seeing you, sincerely.
Only on the radio.
I mean that. And Gary Singer will be back next week. But filling in for Gary Singer is Charles Vaccaro.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good, Chuck. I understand you're board certified, too.
Oh, yes. We're brothers. We're both board certified in civil trial.
Yeah, I saw you guys do that special handshake.
Yeah.
As well. And I want to welcome our listeners on 96.9 FM, 103.9 FM, and 740 AM, along with our app listeners on iHeart, TuneIn, and iRadio Now. Also, you can actually watch the production live and also see pre-recorded programs. Just Google Facebook, Legal News and Review, and you'll see we're recording live at the Kelly Ustahl Building in their very own mock courtroom. How cool is that? Ted DeSavo, welcome to Legal News and Review.
Thank you, Phil. It's a pleasure to be here.
Ted, what does it mean to be board certified, first of all?
Board certified is a process that the Florida Bar implemented, and it takes a lot of effort to become board certified. Only 1-2% of attorneys in Florida are actually board certified, and it's a way to differentiate ourselves to make sure that you are truly an expert in your field. I tell people, well, first of all, even to just submit an application for board certification, you need to have so many jury trials to prepare the application. And in that application, you have to disclose your opponents, the attorneys that opposed you, the judges that you appear before, and they are all sent information to critique you. And this process, this vetting process, goes on for 6 months before they let you know that you're eligible to sit for an exam that I find is, I feel, is harder than the bar exam.
Would you rather go to a proctologist? I mean, my goodness. You know, if I pass the bar, I would take another one.
I'm not going to comment on that.
No,
but
it was kind of funny on my app. It was all, every case I had was against my mother.
But how many did you win?
Yeah. But you're held to a higher standard. Judges recognize the fact that you are board certified, and they take what you say very seriously.
Absolutely. I believe that we're held to a higher standard than we should be.
You are.
Because board certification to become an expert. And prior to a couple years ago, the only experts in any field of law in Florida were those certified by the Florida Bar. Now there's a change in the rules, so if it's quantifiable by other means, you can call yourself an expert. But the true experts are those that are board certified by the Florida Bar. And like I said, alluded to the exam, it's a very intense exam. It's basically on three subjects: procedure, evidence, and I draw a blank right now. But basically you're given a transcript, and how would you, as a board certified civil trial lawyer, have handled this differently?
Wow.
Evidence, procedure, and ethics. I'm sorry. How can I forget ethics?
You are an attorney still.
I am. You know, still board certified, too. And board certification, you need to be recertified every 5 years.
And that doesn't include the CLE
Right. In order to be recertified, you have to have a number of trials, and you have to have the continuing legal education geared towards certification, much harder than regular legal education.
Down here in Florida, we have a distinction of having the most dangerous roadways. I mean, the highway in question is the Interstate 95 Express Lane, much, malign toll roads, but it's subject of high scrutiny and controversy because there have been, in the last 3-year period, get this, 12,192 crashes. And this is only a 3.85-mile stretch. Out of those, 58 people were injured. How many severely, I'm not sure, but worse than that, 5 fatalities. You're taking your hand, you're putting yourself in harm's way when you drive on the roads down here. Absolutely. I always see accidents.
Absolutely. And it's just as a side note, they're actually extending that lane all the way up to Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, Lord, it's population control.
And I find when I'm driving in that express lanes, it's almost like a racetrack. People have no courtesy for the other people in that express lane. Hey, I'm paying $3. I'm going to go as fast as I want, and I'm just going to keep going.
Right. But there's a good percentage of people that are on the road right now, possibly even listening to our show program. If you are, get your insurance, but a lot of them don't have insurance.
That's true.
And I thought I had full coverage. I'm a smart guy. You know, I was with the good hands. I'm from Illinois, grew up in Northbrook, where they're located, have family at work there. And full coverage means you have full coverage, but not in Florida.
Not at all. Matter of fact, when clients come in and tell me they have full coverage, I'm usually skeptical at that point that they have very little coverage. Because full coverage for the state of Florida, in order to get your car registered and on the road, you only have to have PIP insurance, what's no-fault insurance,
right.
Which is insurance that'll pay for your own medical bills, no matter who's at fault in the accident.
That's called no-fault.
Yes.
Yeah.
And property damage insurance, insurance that'll protect you and pay for the damage you do to somebody else's property. But that's it. No bodily injury coverage, no uninsured motorist coverage, nothing. And so you can have full coverage and really have nothing.
Do I become like a ward of the state if I had like a leg amputated and I don't have insurance to cover?
So we have public hospitals at times.
Wow.
So that's why you recommend everybody to buy uninsured motorists.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also known as UM.
Yes. And there's two parts to UM or two definitions. One is uninsured motorist coverage and underinsured motorist coverage. So that person that just hit you in the back, sent you off the road and into a tree and you have catastrophic injuries, they may have bodily injury insurance. They may have $10,000. So they're not uninsured. But they clearly don't have enough insurance to cover your injuries.
I see. What,
and so that UM insurance covers you if they don't have any or if they don't have enough.
What's the difference between UM insurance that they call stacked and non-stacked?
In order to get uninsured motorist coverage in Florida, you have to have bodily injury coverage. So you have to buy insurance that's going to pay if you hurt somebody. And let's say you get a $100,000, $300,000 policy. You can buy UM coverage up to that amount. You can't buy more, but you can buy it up to that amount. But if you have multiple cars, you're able to get more UM insurance by stacking it. So you have 100, 300 on each car. So if you have three cars, now it's times three. So now you have $300,000 in UM insurance, but you still only have 100 in bodily injury coverage. So it enables you to protect yourself even more.
So buying stacked would be, if you could afford it, would be the better way
Absolutely.
To go.
Absolutely.
Because what is it now, like 20%, 25% of Florida doesn't have insurance or not enough insurance, something like that?
Probably.
Well,
when
that's crazy.
When I found out I didn't have full coverage, and I went to my insurance agent, been with Allstate since I was 16, and I said, why didn't you tell me about UM or that I should have UM? You're supposed to tell me what to do. I mean, you hound me about policies for the homeowner's insurance. You didn't tell me anything about this. Why?
I believe that the insurance companies, I think, dissuade their agents from selling UM insurance.
That's exactly what he said to me.
Because that's where they're going to pay out a lot of money. That's where they're going to pay out more money than it's not as profitable to them as other elements of coverage. And so they dissuade their agents from offering it, and it's to the consumer's detriment because you really should have UM coverage, especially in a state like Florida.
Yeah.
Because like either people don't have insurance or they don't have enough insurance, no bodily injury coverage. That may be changing, though. We'll see if this legislative session might change all that again.
But the personal injury claim process begins with what?
Personal injury claims process begins, well, first, an accident.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the very beginning.
Okay, it's basic. But, then, I mean, I come to you as a victim, and I retain you. What is your first step? What do you do?
My first step is to make sure that my client that I've just now signed up is receiving proper medical care to make sure that whatever injuries they sustained in that accident are being attended to. That is the most important thing I feel in dealing with clients.
I would agree.
Let's go back to the scene or where the accident happened. What would you recommend people out there that are about to get into an accident or just got into an accident? There's plenty of them. But what would you, if you get in an accident at the scene, are there things that you can do to help if you're injured, but you still got to make sure that you preserve your claim?
First two things you do. Number one, you call the police. You get the police there. They may take a little while to get there, but call the police. Do not leave the accident scene without the police coming to the scene and filing a police report. Number two, everybody has a camera in their pocket. It's called a cell phone. Take pictures. Take lots of pictures. Take pictures before you move the car off the road. And that becomes invaluable. This case is going to trial 2 years later. Those pictures can be worth more than 1,000 words.
And before you can start collecting from for your claim, do you have to go to a doctor a certain period of time? And how's that going to work?
Well, let's take a step back. What is no-fault insurance? What is personal injury protection insurance? The statutory scheme in Florida is that in order to recover for your injuries, you have to have sustained a permanent injury. So you get into a car accident. Okay, I'm hurt. I go get treatment. It's covered under my insurance. My PIP coverage is paying for my doctor bills. I get all better. That's essentially the end of the case. The other driver is only responsible for any out-of-pocket medical expenses you have, but you're not entitled to recover for your pain and suffering or other damages unless you have a permanent injury. So when I meet a client, my hope is that they get all better. The majority of them don't, and that's when I'm there to make sure that they get the compensation they need. Yes, an appropriate doctor to treat them. I mean, is their arm broken? Orthopedist? They have whiplash? Maybe a chiropractor? Are they having nerve damage, nerve injury to a neurologist? Whatever the particular ailment might be, the injury, I want to make sure that they are seen by the right doctor, somebody who's not going to just chew up all their insurance and not give them the proper care.
But is there a certain period of time? But,
okay.
Sorry, all of us.
Yes.
A period of time?
Yes, there is a period of time. And under our new statutory PIP scheme, which came into effect about 3 years ago, you have 14 days to get medical treatment. If you don't treat within 14 days, that PIP coverage you've been paying for is gone.
So is it any doctor, or could I go to a chiropractor?
Yes, you can go to a chiropractor.
Well, interestingly enough, though, under the current state of the PIP statute, when it changed in 2013 for the 14-day requirement, that doesn't mean your claim is gone if you don't treat it in 14 days. Is that correct?
That's correct. You have no PIP coverage.
Right, but you could still collect.
Absolutely.
And in fact, sometimes you can collect $1 on your medical bills. Is that
no, because your PIP coverage would have been in. You have PIP coverage that would have been enforced in effect, but you chose not to treat within the time period. You would not get an offset. The insurance company would still get the offset for the PIP coverage.
Okay.
And then after 14 days, you have to be certified by a doctor laid out in the statute that you have an emergency medical condition. And if that is done, then and only then will the insurance company avail you to the full $10,000 in benefits that you've been paying for. Insurance barrel up bills.
No, a lot of times, I know for myself, when I was younger, or at least my kids, you know, life is different at the age of 50 than it is at the age of 20. And when they are hurt in the car accident, a lot of times the car accident is very minor. It's just a scrape of the bumper, right? And you don't see any physical damage to the car, let alone to the person. But then when they get to be my age now, well, this ailment that I have at the time is the result. I can't scratch my back with my hand, or I can't touch my toes, all because of the car accident I had 30 years ago. How's that work?
After the age of about 16, 17, our bodies are degenerating. The body of a 50-year-old is not going to be the same as a 20-year-old if there was never any trauma to it. But trauma now has insulted your body, has caused an injury, however minor. But now that is just going to keep progressing, and it's going to make that degenerative process as you age even greater. So you've started the process. You may not feel it at the time. You may not feel it for 5 years, but it's going to have an effect on you as you age. Absolutely.
And that's when you're talking about permanent injury. That's what you're talking about, right? You're not necessarily just talking about broken bones or things like that.
I describe permanent injury to my clients saying that through treatment, if you don't feel as good as you did the day before the accident, you know, absent any objective findings, then the doctor will say you have a permanent injury. If you're not the same person you were the day before, by very definition, you have a permanent injury.
But you get calls from your clients who say, listen, I'm doing better. I don't have the pain I had. The treatment's working.
And that's great.
And that makes your day, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. But at the same time, I'm going to make sure that client goes out and gets the proper diagnostic studies to see, was there trauma to his body that is not manifesting in pain or numbness at the time, but there is some anatomical change to his spine. A disc may be out of place. You know, a 20-year-old with a bulging disc, that's something that's there. It wasn't there before. And so that's an anatomical change. So that's a permanent injury. Well, so even though they don't feel the pain, they could have the injury.
Because sometimes I know with, especially when you're younger, you make these decisions that you're not qualified to make. You know, you're definitely not a doctor at the age of 16 or 17, and you're still driving the car. You get hit and you hurt somebody else, or you get hurt. It's a very minor injury at the time, But of course, later in life, it develops.
Absolutely.
And they don't go see a doctor at the time, or they don't think it's necessary, or that it's just a scratch on the bumper of the other car, and what kind of damage could it be, and why should I sue? And they go through all those mental gymnastics as to why they should and shouldn't, but yet, if they don't record it, they can't have a claim later.
Going back to the earlier question of what to do after an accident, number three is seek medical attention. Wait for the police, take pictures, get medical attention.
Because you never know, really,
so
from
true.
The size of the scratch of the bumper of the person's car in front of you, whether it's a scratch or a major accident, God forbid. Either way, there's a damage, possibly to the person inside.
There are biomechanical studies. When you see it's surprising that you see a severe crash where the whole car is crumpled, and the people are walking around like nothing happened. That's because the car, as designed, absorbed the impact. Sometimes in low-velocity impacts where there's no physical damage, now that impact went somewhere. The energy of that impact went and transferred through the car into the body of the person sitting there.
That's a great point.
And would it be more true, especially when down here there's a lot of old cars on the road that aren't designed that way, too?
Right.
So lower impacts could cause more injury.
Absolutely.
That's a very good point.
A good example of that is a pickup truck. Pickup truck gets hit right in the trailer hitch. There's no damage, but that was an impact. The car could have the car that hit him could have a big hole in the center of their car, but the energy was transferred through that bumper hitch to the frame into the occupants, and there's no visible damage on the truck, on the pickup truck.
We have a friend in common, and she became a friend because you represented her in an accident. And she said to me, you've always been available. When she makes a call, you'll take the call if you're available. But guess what? You call back. That is amazing. And I thought to myself, well, you've got a big firm there. You probably have 20, 30, 50 attorneys. And then when I met you, you said to me, no, Phil, there's four of us.
That's right. And three out of the four of us are board certified. And we do have staff that helps us with the cases. We've developed this practice over 25 years. My partner and I, Daryl Kogan,
right.
We formed Kogan and DeSalvo 25 years ago in January. And we started with just two of us and one secretary. And now we have a support staff, four lawyers. We're looking for number five right now. We fluctuate. And 20, 25 support staff.
Wow.
And
wow.
So, but I'm the lawyer. I meet every client that comes in. I deal with every client. I meet every client. Throughout the process, I'm there for the clients. I represent them. My staff doesn't. My staff works for me.
Wow, what a philosophy. I wish more lawyers had that philosophy. I mean that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as well. Anyway, the bottom line is you did good for her. So she's a good source of recommendations. Personal injury settlements are common course for what you do, even though you had to have so many trials to be board certified. But personal injuries, majority of the cases, do settle, and sometimes even at the courthouse.
True.
As well.
True.
But I was very surprised because you read about these big million-dollar cases or big class action, $100 million and so forth, but the average injury case typically ranges from $3,000 to $75,000.
And that does not surprise me.
Really?
Statistically, over the last 25 years, I would agree with that. And that's the average. Because you can have the 20-year-old kid that just has back pain, went to a doctor a few times, and this case worth a couple $1,000s. A couple of injections or herniated disc in a 40-year-old woman. We can go through so many scenarios.
Right.
But yeah, that is the average. The press and the people at large like to hear about big things.
Oh, you bet.
They're on billboards, in the news. You always hear about the big ones. But the average ones are between $3,000 and $75,000. Of course, there's trials much greater than that. I've had verdicts higher than that, and settlements higher than that.
Well, important to our listeners, how do you determine? I mean, you're board certified. You've been practicing all these years. How do you actually determine how much a personal injury case is worth?
At what stage? When a client comes in?
Yeah.
When the client comes in, I take out my crystal
ball. That'll be my first question.
And this is what I tell my clients. All right, okay, let me get my crystal ball out. Now, because we have a tort threshold, do you have a permanent injury? If not, your case is worth almost nothing. Okay, now, as a result of this injury, are you going to have surgery? God forbid you have surgery under general anesthesia and you die. So tell me where, new client, you go from being completely well to a catastrophic injury as a result of this.
Right.
Because when I'm sitting there, they're in pain, they get treatment. I don't know if they're going to have surgery. And so At the time they have concluded their treatment, when the doctors have said, you're at maximum medical improvement, this is as good as you're going to get, you have a permanent injury, this is your diagnosis, and this is your prognosis for the future, I know all the numbers, then I can place a value on the case.
Have you had a lot of instances like that where somebody comes in, they look horrible, and you're like, oh, this one looks bad, and they end up good, and vice versa?
Absolutely.
They come in, they look great, and all of a sudden they have something really catastrophic.
Absolutely.
There's not enough plastic surgery in the world to help.
Well, I'm not talking about Phil.
Oh, of course. And just to follow up on that, the majority of the cases do settle. Yeah. Probably about 90% of cases settle pre-suit. Of those 10% cases that don't settle, you know, they have to warrant going to trial. If a case is worth $3,000 and they're offering you $2,000, that's not a case to go to trial. If a case is if there's a significant disagreement in the value of the case, then it's worth trying. Because I want my clients to do better in trial than they would have in pre-suit settlement.
But you're the keys to the courthouse. And what I mean by that is you work on contingency.
Right.
And when you take on a case, I understand you will invest in that case. If you need an expert witness, and that's an orthopedic surgeon, and he charges $25,000 to go on stand to give a statement.
And that check has to be in his hand before he steps foot in that courtroom.
Right.
Yes.
So if you don't win the case, what happens to the outlay?
Cost of doing business.
Wow.
Yes, it hurts.
A lot of people don't know
that. It does hurt. But as a board-certified civil trial lawyer, right. I know which cases to take to trial. I don't cherry pick, but if it warrants it, I take it to trial, and we go to win. Now, out of those 10% of cases that don't settle, that go to trial, 90% of those cases settle. In Florida, for quite a while now, we've had mandatory mediation prior to trial.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, settling right. We don't settle in the courthouse steps anymore. We settle a month or two before.
Well, that's what I meant by the process. You have mandatory mediation.
Yes.
And that's mediation is a process where you're in one room, they're in the other room, and
essentially
you go back and forth.
Essentially, you start together and then you split up.
And that's when you actually that you could find out what the other side is thinking.
That's the number two objective in a mediation. If you can't settle the case, how much money do they have to put on the table? I'll sit there all day to find out what their top number is so I can advise my client after that mediation, okay, this is the top, this is what they have, or do you want to try it?
Wow.
And so
you also get to see what their defense is going to be and what their offense
sometimes.
Is going to
yes.
be and that sort of thing.
Yes, sometimes they'll tip their hands.
Who usually goes to these mediations on the other side?
Well, you have the defense lawyer and the adjuster. Sometimes the actual defendant will be there as well, but that's more a rarity than common. And then myself, my clients, and then there's the mediator who could be a retired judge or a board-certified mediator.
And so you're talking to the people that are actually cutting the check as opposed to the person that you're suing.
Yes. Right. Yes.
A lot of power there.
Yeah.
You know, they see who's serious and who's not. But your background, they know. I mean, the insurance companies know when Ted DeSavo takes on a case, he's a litigator. You'd have no problem going to court. Matter of fact, you're disappointed if you can't go to court. You know, always for the best interest of your client.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Insurance companies these days, you mentioned Allstate before, they all have computer programs where they take in all these factors and they try to evaluate the case based on all of these factors. And one of the factors they actually plug in are, does this law firm try cases? You know, are they going to settle cheaply? You know, are they going to farm it out if they can't settle it? And those are important factors. And over 25 years, we have the respect of the insurance company. Matter of fact, you mentioned before about insurance defense, and I used to do that for the first 5 years. So I know
what you're up against.
Yes, I know what they need to evaluate the case, and from there.
We only have 2 minutes left, Ted. I wish we could continue. It's just, we've only scratched the surface.
Yes.
You know, I could see why you work long hours. And the other night when I called you, you were able to be found by your firm. And it was like 6, 7 p.m.
I was still at the office.
Yeah. Wow. That says a lot. You have to really know that Ted DeSavo, whose name is actually Theodore. Theodore L. He's well known in the industry, and you're also well known in the community, as well as you have commercials that are running.
Yes,
as well. But those aren't the commercials that they got me this kind of money. I mean, they're real people who said, "Listen, this is my experience with them," and just like my friend, no smoke and mirrors is what I'm saying.
Right, those are real clients that we have represented in the past.
Right, exactly. What is the best way to contact you and your firm?
Best way is to call us directly, and I'll give you the 800 number, which is 800-707-9111. We're local in Palm Beach County at 561-375-9500, and our website is koganinjurylaw.com. That's with a K, Kogan and DeSalvo. And they can always reach me on the phone. I enjoy talking to people. A lot of times they field calls. I cannot help the people, but I get them to the people that can.
You know, I Googled your name. I do that for all our guests before before I come in and see how easy it is to find you. Man, you have like 10 pages deep in Google. I mean, my God.
Well, I've been, you know, I've chaired three grievance committee, Florida Bar Grievance Committees. I've been president of the local bar association in Palm Beach County. I just try to give back to the legal community as well as to charities when I can.
And you do. It's lawyers like you that help our program be successful and to educate the general public and also other attorneys as well. It goes by too fast, guys. I mean,
I can't believe that.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, doesn't it?
I'd be happy to come back another time.
Well, yeah. let's count out. It'd be fun. And, you know, this is drive time and talking about accidents right now. I think there's more accidents now than there ever been because of the electronics. And I mean, you know, all of a sudden it says there's a car next to you and you know, you could drive now like Tesla. The car's going to drive yourself.
Right.
Oh my goodness! We definitely want to have you back.
With all those, just real quick. Yeah. With all those new electronics in the car, remember they're tools. They're not taking the place of you. Okay, that little thing on your side mirror that blinks into someone in the lane. You know, a lot of times it doesn't activate unless you put your blinker on.
That's right.
You put your signal on, it'll tell you if somebody's there. Don't just swerve over. Keep a safe distance. Get off the cell phone and just concentrate. You're driving a machine. It's called a dangerous instrumentality for a reason. And people get killed in cars all the time. A moment's negligence, you know, you could do the math. If you're going 60 miles an hour,
right,
your stopping distance, how much ground you're covering in a second. And it'll floor you how fast and how much distance you're traveling. So pay attention. It's not just you. It's everyone around you.
And stay off your cell phone.
I think it's a good lesson for my kids to hear. And I'm sure they think the same thing for me.
Well, remember,
be legal!
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448. For Legal News and Review, remember, be legal.